Okay, so our first reading today was often called the sacrifice of Isaac. In Jewish traditions, it's called the binding of Isaac. So what do I have to say about the binding of Isaac? Well, it's a horrible story. Bottom line, it is an absolutely horrible, horrific story. And there is no way around it. And yet it is an extremely prominent story in both Jewish and Christian theology. It's a foundational story. But that's not to say it hasn't been problematic. It has always been problematic. And way before Christianity, Jewish scholars wrote what was called Midrash, which is a Jewish tradition of sort of retelling the story, imagining the story from a different perspective, from a different character's point of view, or even writing in new characters or explanations as a way of engaging the text, kind of entering into the text and using your imagination to experience it more fully. And so there were all sorts of these Midrash writings where different characters were entered in, demons were entered in to be the ones who really proposed this test for Abraham, sort of like in Job, someone so said to God, hey, you should test your faithful servant sort of situation. There's also ones where Abraham enters into an argument with God, I think making him a lot more relatable and likable, is that he doesn't just go, oh yeah, okay, but argues and pushes back. And then there was one I really liked. It was a more modern rabbinic writing where they reimagined the story from Sarah's perspective, and she hears Abraham wrestling in his sleep with God, and she hears what's going on, and she's like not having it. So she gets up early, and she sneaks up to the mountain, and she takes a ram and hides it in the bushes so that when Abraham gets there, he'll see the ram, and it will save her son. So there has been a lot of effort to make this story better, less horrible. But in my opinion, there's really no saving it. We just have to accept that it's horrible. Because when I try to make sense of the story, when I really try to enter into it in that Midrash tradition, my empathy kicks in, and it's killer. I mean, it's a downward spiral to a very dark place. And I don't want to discourage people from engaging in texts. I don't want to discourage people from asking tough questions and holding scripture accountable and all those things. But with this story, at least this week, that just didn't get me anywhere. So instead, I invite you to let go of that desire to make sense of this story or make it less horrible. And instead, utilize a technique that one of my seminary professors taught me. I'd like us to approach the text by asking the question, what is the good news that this story is trying to convey? And more specifically, what is the good news that this story is trying to convey about God? In other words, what's the takeaway? What was the point of this story? Why was it so important? Why was it passed down from generation to generation? And the answer that I came up with for today is God is a God of life, not death. And God provides a way when no way seems possible. God is a God of life, not death. And God provides a way when no way seems possible. So first of all, God is a God of life, not death. That's the message that we heard last week in the beginning and the Genesis story, the creation story, where God is the giver of life, the source of all life. God brings life out of chaos. God creates life in all its diversity and calls it good. And that's the message that comes through in the story of the birth of Isaac, when 25 years after God promises Abraham and Sarah a child, after many bumps in the road, and after they have all but given up hope, Isaac is born, a miraculous gift of life in their old age, from God, the giver of life. And this is what Abraham seems to cling to as he makes this nightmare journey with Isaac. When Isaac asks why they haven't brought an animal with them, Abraham tells him, God will provide a lamb. Not knowing the how or why any of this is happening, Abraham appears to trust in what he already knows about God, trusting that the God of life will provide a lamb and spare the life of Isaac, which is exactly what happens. In the climax of the story, God provides a ram for Abraham to sacrifice and spares the life of Isaac. Which then points to the other takeaway I get from this story. God provides a way when no way seems possible. As one theologian put it, Abraham is being asked to do something horrible that makes no sense with what he knows, and he basically has two bad options. He can disobey the God who's given him everything that he has, or he can sacrifice his son. It is a lose-lose situation. There is no apparent way out that doesn't end badly. Abraham has gone against God before, and it did not end well. But in this situation, what's asked of him is horrible in and of itself. Again, I see no way to make sense of the story's premise or setup of why God would ever put Abraham in this terrible situation. But if we simply accept it for what it is, we find ourselves with the main character in an impossible situation, unable to see any way that things can end well. And yet, they do. In the end, God provides a way that Abraham had not been able to see before God drew his attention to it, the ram in the thicket. God makes a way for life when no way seems possible. So how does that work? What does that look like in our lives? Well, I could give you examples, times in my life when things felt hopeless, but then out of the depths of despair, God brought new life. But instead of sharing those personal examples that are very specific to my life, I thought today I would share with you a spiritual practice that I've been using for times when I can't see a way, or for when I'm stuck, and I know that I need God's help in finding a way. It's actually something that my spiritual mentor does, that she shared her practice with me, and then I adapted it to fit me better, because she is really good at visualization. So for her, the practice is all about visualization. She has a very specific visual image of God, and for her, it is a wizened old indigenous woman sitting on the ground, and she imagines a woven basket, and she places in the basket whatever it is that she's stuck on, whatever it is she's really struggling with, the things she needs help seeing away. And then she visualizes passing this basket to the woman and giving it to her completely, trusting that the woman will give back whatever she needs. I can't do that. My brain does not work that way. It sounds lovely, but I cannot visualize it. So for me, I have a journal that I write in. I write my prayers in. And I have started drawing a basket. It's a basket. We'll say it's a basket. It's an oval. with a little extra. And then I write into that basket my situation, whatever the thing is that has me stuck, whether it's a relationship or a decision, a personal issue, a fear, a worry, whatever it is that I am stuck on, that I cannot see my way around. And then I pass it over to God. I try to. I sit there and I want to, and I write amen underneath my basket. And I'm finding that when I do this, a way appears. I usually do it at night, right before I go to bed, and sometimes it's the next morning or a day or two later that I am able to see a way that I had not been able to see before. I'm able to see the ram in the bushes. This is not magic. This does not make all my troubles disappear. But it's a spiritual practice of looking to God for help, asking God to show me the way that I cannot see. Because even when we feel stuck in a hopeless situation, we can trust the good news of this horrible story that God is a God of life, even when things seem horrible, and that God can make a way, even when no way seems possible. Thanks be to God. Amen.